Mm-hmm. The energy you have at 5 a.m. is still the energy you have at 10 p.m. How is that? And it's because I always remind myself by the work that I do that there's people, there's lives on the other side of my giving, on the other side of that like, on the other side of that follow, on the other side of that comment that they have. And I don't see it as numbers. I see it as people. So when I have that mindset, it just drives me every single day, man, to the point where like it's obsessive almost.
Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast.
What's going on, successors, and welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones, and today we got a special guest in the building.
What's going on, guys? I'm happy to be here, Jonathan.
Man, what's going on, man? Brian, tell the people just a little bit about yourself, just quick snapshot.
Yeah.
Before we dive in, because I know offline, you know, we be cutting up and ran into you on church at Sunday. So tell the people just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. First of all, I appreciate you having me here. I think the biggest thing, and it can go on a whole long story, but quick, I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, born and raised. Went to Morehouse College, went and got my doctorate of pharmacy. And one interesting fact that I tell a lot of people is, you know, I went to college on golf scholarship. So they're like, what? You know, this dude, who is he? Like, this doesn't make any sense, you know? So I like to start off there. I went through the traditional route of trying to matriculate through what success looks like, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to get all these degrees and they say, you know, the one question that my parents ask, and I think we all have been asked this, is, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? And that question, I was writing in my journal the other day, and I said, that question is just so arbitrary. It's just so big to answer at such a young age. And I think when we make that decision at a young age, it kind of stunts our growth, so to speak, because we're on this one path.
Yeah.
But for me, I think the biggest thing that I learned is that you can't relish in those things that you made in the past, but you can always learn and grow. But long story short, I'm now a holistic life coach and business coach, mentor to people. I do speaking engagements now.
I've seen.
Yeah, so we've been doing that, added that into the repertoire. But I started my holistic life health coaching business right outside of pharmacy school, and within 7 months, matched my income and was able to kind of part ways with the practice of pharmacy. Kind of deviated a little bit there, but that's how I matriculated through my career and kind of how I got to where I am now.
Man, okay, yeah. I mean, I was on your site the other day because I mean, I knew you were doing the life coaching,
mm-hmm.
and then even seeing you speaking, I've seen you do some of the speaking engagements, see the big crowd, see you got the big screen in the back. And I'm like, okay. And now I've even seen you started helping people as well. I even saw you had like a program where you were like, you're help promoting to where people can, you know, book speaking,
yeah,
get higher fees and stuff like that.
Yeah. We've got a lot of things in the works. When I started my health coaching business, it was called Envision Health.
Okay.
And that's where everything began. And I think a lot of people, what they don't realize is that you can pivot. You can pivot in your business that you're trying to start in these big dreams and goals that you have. So when I started there, I pivoted into life coaching from there. And it's called the Shift Mentorship. So what we do is not only develop people personally, but if they're inquiring to start a business of their own, I definitely help them with that. But I try to tie in both. So I do have some programs now that are available that not only develop you personally, which is my Transcend program. So that's my holistic life coaching course program that they can matriculate through and touch on all these fears and doubts and how to tackle the mind and how to think critically, how to make powerful decisions. And from there, I said, well, let me listen to my audience again. Everyone was like, Brian, how do you get paid for speaking? How do you negotiate? How do you write contracts? How do you bring up something when someone invites you, right? Because you're very aware that when people invite you, a lot of times they're always looking to get free speakers, right?
Oh, my goodness.
They're always looking to get free speakers.
That's a cuss word. That's a cuss word.
But you can pivot and you have the leverage, right, to bring up the conversation to say, hey, I have value to give. Let's talk. about what that looks like. Do you have a speaker budget? All those things. So I'm teaching people how to do that. And just start, you know, booking engagements, getting booked, man, for 2020 and beyond.
Yeah, man, yeah. That's nice. So when did, hold on, let's rewind a little bit. Let's rewind a little bit, because one thing I do definitely want to touch on is what helped you make the decision to shift from traditional practice of PharmD.
Great question.
I want to go back a little bit further. Like, I want to know, how did you even get into that? Like, how did the pursuit of that path come about?
Yeah, great question. It was a family tie, man. I grew up as an athlete, and I think when we were being raised as athletes, if you're naturally skilled, right, you don't necessarily have to worry about nutrition. And I remember eating the pasta and all this stuff before practice and stuff like that, you know, growing up for football, basketball, and even golf. Like, you know, I remember going on these trips and eating Chick-fil-A, right, and I was tired. I was like, why am I so tired? So when I got to pharmacy school, I said, hey, I want to practice what I preach. I want to be the epitome of what a healthcare professional should look like and feel like. So that's when I began to dive into kind of the nutrition side of prevention and chronic disease. Okay. And I said, wow. You know, it's very hyped right now, right? We see all these documentaries about becoming vegan and all these different diets you can do. So I tried literally every one of them. This was in 2011, 2012, before it was hyped. And what I found was that there's not one right nutritional regimen.
Really?
And I don't even like to call it a diet. I like to call it a nutritional regimen. So when I found that out, I began healing not only my own body. So I did a men's physique bodybuilding competition. I challenged myself and I transformed my body, and I felt better than ever. When I realized that, I said, this isn't the route for me anymore, because I need, no one's talking about this. No one's doing this. There's other pharmacists out there that can definitely recommend, discontinue, find drug interactions, all that kind of stuff. I had the knowledge, but my passion wasn't behind it anymore. And I realized, wow, let me go back to the reason why I started and wanted to be a healthcare professional, is to heal people, right? There's many different ways to heal people.
My goodness.
So that's where everything started. And I began to just read studies and read studies, and you know, people begin to inquire, right, naturally. Hey, how do you do this? And when people start to see value in you, that's when I said, wow, I must have something here. Let me look into this. What is it called?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I found a health coach and found coaching in general and life coaching and all this different stuff. So that's kind of taking it aback of where it started and how I made that pivot in roughly 2015, 2016.
I really like how you said there's no right. You said health regimen.
Yes, yes.
Wow. Can you elaborate just a little bit on that? And then we're going to dive into that coaching piece too, because that mindset thing is a whole different beast, man. But yeah, talk a little bit more about that. Like, because I know that there's a lot of different fads and, you know, like the keto and all this other stuff. And you said you were on it before it was big.
Yeah. So what I realized when I did vegan, when I did keto, I actually started to feel more tired. And I think a lot of people don't listen to their bodies. they don't listen to their bodies. So what a lot of studies found, and you know, it's variable between each and every individual, right? Each and every individual is unique in their own right. So if you're going on a vegan diet or a certain diet, I do believe that you need to have your vitals checked, because there are a lot of men that started to develop low T levels. Because a vegan diet or, you know, certain things that you're eating in your regimen could increase the estrogen in your body. So a lot of men were starting to have low sex drive and stuff like that. Not me per se, but I didn't look better. I didn't feel better. I was more tired. That's just me personally, right? There are a lot, you know, especially in the African-American community, you see a lot of huge transformations by people cutting out red meat and all those types of things. And I stopped that. But I definitely have balance in my regimen now. So I don't cut out meat per se, but I definitely hold off on it. I might vary it week to week. But I definitely challenge people, if you are looking and saying, hey, like, this isn't working for me, then I challenge you to try different things. Be experimental. Find what works best for you, what you can actually stick to, right? I think that's the biggest thing.
Man, I think that's so huge, especially now, because people are seeing other people get results.
Exactly.
And then they're like, I want the results that Dr. Brian got. So I'm going to try to do what Dr. Brian, but just like you're saying, the bodies are different, and in the response ultimately is totally different from you. Well, the response varies depending on the people.
Exactly.
And talking about that from just talking about the body. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the mindset because results.
Yeah.
Results may vary. You know, they got the asterisk.
Yes.
Results may vary. So when it comes to somebody saying, okay, well, I see you doing what you're doing, but then at the same time, I don't think I can get to where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Help that person out. Help that person out. Mm-hmm. If they see you and they're, you know, talk a little bit about that. What are you feeling?
The biggest revelation that I had was not the nutritional regimen, the keys, those things. The biggest revelation I had was the personal development skills that I gained from finding that what I wanted and this gap space between what my goal was the fact that I needed to have discipline. My discipline wasn't there. These things that people try to say, hey, I need more motivation, I need more perseverance, I need more resilience. And something that I've read recently, and I think a lot of people, we hear this, right, about motivation. What I need more motivation. And I read this one thing, I forgot what book it was from, but it was talking about the definition of motivation and willpower and what that truly means. And there's definitely a book on willpower, so you can go read that. There's another book called Grit. So these books were just amazing to me when people were trying to find motivation. And I say this, you have to find deeper meaning. You have to find the passion first. Because of the deeper meaning and why behind why you want to do something, you're never going to find the motivation, ever, because you're always going to be looking outside of yourself. So that is what was huge to me, is said, I don't feel like doing this. It's not working for me. And then I go always back to, why am I doing this? What's the deeper why and what's the deeper meaning? Yeah. Does it affect my family? Will it increase my finances? Will it help me live a more vibrant, well-off life? Will it help somebody else? And when I started to say that, that's what started to get me up every morning. That's what made me go to the gym when I didn't feel like it. That's what made me cook my meals and do my thing when I wanted to go out and just go to the drive-thru, you know? So I tell people all the time, like, find the deeper why and meaning, and you will find the motivation within you, and start being inspired instead of motivated.
I think that is massive in itself. Because, yeah, waking up every day, if we just think about, okay, I don't want to go to the gym because I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to eat good because I just don't want to eat. I want this cheeseburger. That cheeseburger looks really good. You know, so focusing on that, those type things, what would you say is, because you're talking about find the deeper meaning and then pull, you know, pull something that gives you, I guess, that extrinsic motivation. What would you say is, if you defined it, I think we talked about it briefly, but what would you say is the why for you?
Ooh, what gives me joy every single day, man? And I realized this is when my whole business model changed, when I went from health coaching to life coaching and business mentorship, is it wasn't the physical transformation of a person. My deeper why is to see someone else kind of have that joy and happiness of waking up every single day and saying, I am truly happy. That's what gives me joy, is to leave a legacy. And I think we can definitely, you know, we don't want to get too deep into this and
the recent
passing of Kobe. But, you know, I just, that really hit me hard because I wasn't a huge Kobe fan necessarily. I wasn't a huge basketball person, right? But when I looked on the life of the greats in each and every industry, I realized that the legacy that you leave behind, the people that you touch, the person that you talk to, that, you know, maybe it's your first time you go to Starbucks or you go to barista, you go to your workplace that you don't get along with your colleague, that family member that you haven't talked to in a while. You know, this is my deeper why, to say, how can I leave something behind to someone said, man, Brian improved my day by just one word he said, by just saying hello, you know? So that's what motivates me every single day, when people are like, how do you keep going, man? Like, you're waking up at 5 a.m. and then you're going to sleep at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever you feel like. And the energy you have at 5 a.m. is still the energy you have at 10 p.m. How is that? And it's because I always remind myself, by the work that I do, that there's people, there's lives on the other side of my giving, on the other side of that like, on the other side of that follow, on the other side of that comment that they have. And I don't see it as numbers, I see it as people. So when I have that mindset, it just drives me every single day, man, to the point where like it's obsessive almost.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's healthy.
It is.
I'm about to say, this is our perspective, but I think it's healthy to have, because if there is no level of obsession with, because you have obsession with helping people.
Yeah.
So therefore it drives you to read more. Mm-hmm. It drives you to learn more. It drives you to improve yourself to where ultimately you can add more to people. You can help improve other people. And just like you said, you touched on Kobe. And one of the things that I saw about him, he used the platform of basketball to become great. He was disciplined, he sacrificed. He sacrificed relationships, he sacrificed time, he sacrificed family in that time while he used the platform basketball. But then after, he used that platform to propel everything else. He is Kobe Bryant, so now he creates a team for his daughter to be on.
Exactly.
He handpicks the coach that was the coach over that team that sadly passed in that helicopter as well. And understanding that, I think that everybody has to identify, not everybody, you know, that's extreme, you know, that's extreme. Yeah, yeah. But if you want to live the life to the best of your ability, the way God intended, like we have to take ownership of whatever platform we have. If it's Instagram and we're going on live doing the videos or life coaching, basketball like Kobe, whatever, but we have to pick a time and identify how will we serve people best? And I think sometimes, well, I won't speak for nobody else, but I'm gonna speak for me. And I'm gonna say sometimes for me, well, earlier more so than now, I ran away from responsibility. Like, you know, it's kind of like you get pulled to do something. It's like, oh, come and do this. Oh, it's easy for you. Oh, you should do that. It's like, nah, I don't want to be the manager at the store. Nope. Y'all got it. I don't want to deal with everybody. I get my numbers.
That's all I need.
And that's it. I'm gonna say this last thing about Kobe, and then I'm done, because I was watching a lot of interviews,
a lot of interviews, man.
Bro, it's been so many interviews, but I was watching one from Tracy McGrady. I didn't know they literally grew up together. Like, used to stay at each other's house, hang out that close.
Because
T-Mac was like, man, a lot of people don't know, me and him probably had more special relationship than anybody else. Not more special, but, you know, I was sitting there watching, and I was like, okay, tell me more.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, we would hang out at the house, and then we'd watch Michael Jordan home videos. And then he said he would watch the move, then he'll pause it, and then rewind it, and then try to emulate the move. And he said, me and Kobe were close, and the reason why our relationship didn't elevate to a certain level on the basketball side of the court, because he said, I'm over here in Orlando playing for scoring titles. He's over here in LA going for championships. When I heard that,
that's a great point.
Talk, man. You're a competitor. Talk about
that. I'm a huge competitor, and that just goes back to the mindset of what makes the difference between good and great. You know, what separates those that, and if you haven't read the book Relentless by Tim Grover, he mentions Kobe and the greats about what the difference is between the closer and the cleaner. The person that, you know, is described as just never settling. Like, how do they keep going?
Yeah.
You know, and the deeper why, going back to that, of the difference between T-Mac and Kobe, him playing for numbers and trying to be the best on the board.
Yeah.
But Kobe trying to say, hey, I want to leave a legacy with championships. I want to change a culture. I want to change a society of what it looks like to be a true winner. And I think that mentality right there is definitely something that people need to realize, that you have that strength. And I talked about this on my podcast as well, is the Mamba mentality that he had. And that mentality of just being relentless in your pursuit. And I want to mention this too. A lot of the interviews that I've been watching, and I noticed this, that everyone mentioned this, and I noticed it as well, but I couldn't put a word to it. And they said that Kobe was always curious. He wasn't necessarily the smartest, because he came straight up high school, right?
Mm.
But he was curious. So I think if a society, if you're trying to be great at something, if you're trying to hit a goal in 2020 or beyond, whatever that is for you, try to be genuinely curious about the things that you're going on. Because I think a lot of people are trying to find their purpose and their passion and what am I supposed to do? And I think the first step is find an interest in what you want to do.
That's good.
And then next thing, try to just be genuinely curious about how you can navigate it or how you can find more about it and go research and study and be a student of life in that area of industry that you want to actually achieve in. And when you do that, you know, each and every day, that's what drives me, is saying, how can I learn more about navigating this thing we call life? If I'm calling myself a holistic life coach, how can I learn more about business and navigating entrepreneurship if I call myself a business coach? And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, there's other people already doing it, right? You talked about competition.
Yeah, yeah,
you talked about competition. And I tell people there's a billion people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize that, no one can tell your story like you can.
Yeah.
So when you start telling your truth and telling your story and speaking your success, then that's when everything will change, because people will gravitate towards you and say, wow, I'm like you. I didn't know you were struggling with that. How did you get through it? Mm-hmm. And now you are an authority in the space, because now you said, I'm not trying to be perfect, but I relish in imperfection as well.
Man, you said a mouthful. One of the biggest things that really stuck out with me there is you said, be curious, because we were talking offline before we started, and we're talking about goals a little bit. And people are like, you know, I'm going to write the book. I'm going to do the podcast. I'm going to run the marathon, doing all those things. But I think you just dialed it back to a very tangible way. Because if anybody writes a list out, and I'm realizing this in my own life this year, because I got me a new planner. I used to do the passion planner, but I got I think it's called like a Firefox.
Yep.
So I got one of those, and I started writing down little things for the checklist.
Yeah.
But then I realized that every day, I realized this actually by listening to another podcast. It's called Good Culture, Good Culture Podcast. So I was listening to them with Kenny Reeves, Sydney, and God, I forget the other guy's name. Goodness. It's fine. They'll forgive me. But so I was listening to their podcast, and they said, you know, having checklists and having focuses is great, but then when it gets to the point to where you're overwhelming yourself, just to be able to check the box at the end of the day to say, I did this, I did that.
Yeah.
Then you burn yourself out and you're like, I don't want to do it. Or then you just turn yourself completely off from it. But what you're saying is take it slow.
Mm-hmm.
Identify an area, then work with that area. Because even going back, Kobe, once again, Kobe, what a lot of people don't know, I talked about on the podcast earlier this week, but a lot of people don't know, Kobe as a high school kid, he was not the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and watch some of the interviews, the one that he did with Patrick Bet-David, if you haven't seen that one,
I've seen that
so
one.
Good. But he was like, I was terrible.
Yep.
But then he said after he played, you know, his dad would watch him play. His dad wouldn't beat him up, nothing like that. He'd say, you know, I still love you, son, you know. And then his interest was, I'm going to go for this guy. I'm going to go for that guy. And he said every day, every year, he just got better. He just put in more time and got better. And I think that's where it applies here for us.
Yeah.
Like in real time, it's like, okay, focus on the interest.
Yep.
Spend time getting better at it or learning about it and then practice it.
Yeah.
And that, wash, rinse, and repeat, that right there will take care of a lot. Because in your case, you found an interest.
Yep.
You learned more about it. And then as you're going down that lane in your own pursuit, people started asking you, how did you get into this? Tell me more about this. And I mean, what people can't see, because you got the jacket on, but you know, they can't, if they follow you on Instagram, you know, they see you're no small fellow. You got some.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, man. I seen the other day talking about, I was like, man, he posing like that and he working out in Vans. I said, man, you got it. I said, you got it, bro. I can't hang with you. I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't know. So just.
Oh, my goodness. I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
But I didn't want to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I think the biggest thing that I took away from that is when people are looking to set goals, right? Goal setting is a huge topic of discussion right now, especially us getting into a new decade in this year of 2020. And I used to be this too. When people were talking about, hey, you know, I want to have my vision board. Let's do a vision board party and stuff, which is great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's to get people excited, right? But I think we can't get excited anymore when the work's not being put in afterwards.
Ooh.
So I think that we build up so much excitement to the point where it overwhelms people. And I want people to break this down like this, okay? I did a vision board, and I think I still maybe have it on my Instagram or something like that, but I did it on a whiteboard. I literally drew a cloud in the middle, and I put my name. And I only said, I'm going to write 5 branches. And from those 5 branches, what are the big goals that I want for 2020? And I left it at that. And on each of the branches, I said, what is one thing that I can do each and every day that's going to move it forward? I'm not thinking about the big goal anymore, right? So if it is to write a book, is to start a podcast, I tell my clients, I say, hey, you know, if you want to start a podcast, you don't need all the equipment just yet. You don't need those things. Just start speaking first.
Yeah.
Turn on your phone and do a voice memo to yourself so you can start hearing, you know, how you speak. Start doing that, and they're like, oh, man, I didn't know. I thought I needed all this stuff. No, start right where you are. Do one thing, because the next day you will say, wow, okay, well, what does that look like for the next day? Set a goal if you want to write a book. If you want to write a personal development self-help book, and you're saying, hey, most personal development self-help books are around 200, 250 pages, and you break it down, and you're like, hey, I can write 5-10 pages a day. You know, last year I read almost 25, 28 books within a week span, within a couple months span. Towards the end of the year, I was doing a book a week. People were like, how do you do that? And I said, break the goal down from the top to the bottom. All I said was, if this book is 200 pages, I read 15 pages in the morning, 15 pages in the evening, 30 times this. What does that look like?
That's good.
Right?
I never thought about
that. So
that's
210 pages. So now people are like, oh, I can read 15 pages in the morning and 15. I have that time, right? So I think we're looking at these huge, large goals and we're getting overwhelmed. But if you break it down to the daily tasks that you can do, you will start to see momentum. And by the end of the week, by the end of the month, you'll be like, wow, I didn't know I did all that. It's like, yeah, because you just broke things down, right? And it seems very simple. And I know people know this, but are we putting the work and effort behind it?
So after... You were just talking about like the breaking the goal down, the breaking the reading down, and ultimately to be able to max out. Because one thing that really the biggest piece that I took out of that, because you said people all say, I can do that. I have the time. It's so crazy that we all have the same 24 hours. We all have the same 20. However we use it is how we use it. We all use it differently. But is it a priority to better your life? Is it a priority to learn something?
Yeah.
Man.
Wow. Yeah, I touched on this actually in my program at Transcend. It was about efficiency and the ability to focus. And I think this is a huge thing that people are getting distracted. We have so many distractions now, right? So when people are looking to create more time, you know, how do you do that?
Whew.
And I think that is the big question when people are trying to find more time to discover their purpose. And right now, if you're listening, if you're like, hey, I'm at a 9-to-5, or I'm working 10, 12-hour days, or I have a family, or I have other obligations.
It's true.
It's hard. I understand that. But I think the biggest question, the greats that I've read about are always like, how can I be more efficient? You know, how can I, in 2 hours, do 4-hour work, you know? So how do you do that? I think number one is distraction removal. And this goes into neuro-linguistic programming. I don't want to get too deep on science, but you know, this is mindset work. So NLP, neuro-linguistic program, is essentially understanding the thoughts that are going on in your head and how to control those thoughts. So let me give you an example. If you are trying to focus and you're trying to read a book, or you're trying to, you know, write down your goals or focus on a task, and you're saying, hey, you know, your mind wanders, right? It goes off to the left, it goes off to the right, and you look down, you're like, man, that was like 5 minutes of being distracted. And in that moment, you say, am I supposed to really be doing this? Well, what if someone says this? What if I don't reach the goal? Mm. You know, so you start going down this path and you distract yourself from the efficient work that you're supposed to be doing. So what I tell people to do is, we already do meditation, a lot of people, right? They already do meditation. Yeah. I tell people to bring it back to the breath. So that's one task, strategy that you can do, that you capture the thought in the moment and you bring it back to the breath and say, okay, I wandered. Okay, back to the why and the deeper meaning, and said, oh, my family's counting on me. Back to work, right? So your focus in that moment, you just took 2-3 minutes that could have been wandering, and you broke it down now into a 30-second, bringing it back to the breath, and now you are back focused. So when I learned these strategies of not just trying to work harder and get down to business and tire myself out, I said, how can I be more efficient? Because I'm going to get distracted. I'm going to have fears that creep in. I'm going to have doubts that creep in. And this can all tie into, I don't have time. No, you have time. It's just, how are you breaking it down? So I not only did that, but I also became more efficient with my calendar, right? So I plug everything into my calendar. I used to be the person that, oh, I remember this. I'll jot it down in a notebook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, no, I plug in, hey, I'm waking up. I'm reading, you know, for 15, you know, 10, 15 pages. I plug that into my calendar. So I actually visually see it. So as a reminder, if I don't get it done the previous day, I say, wow, it's an accountability tool for myself. So that's when that internal motivation comes in. So I'm not looking for external motivation a lot of times of why this other person didn't go. No, Brian, you put it down here. Ooh. You didn't get it done, right? So there's no one else to blame. So it's an accountability factor that I constantly have with myself.
Gym dropper, man. That's some heat, man. Golly.
Yeah, man.
That accountability is huge. And just like you said, you even eliminated the excuse if somebody says, I don't have somebody else to hold me accountable. Because your calendar is holding you accountable.
Exactly.
But you have to put it in there so that it can't,
Yeah. So I think a lot of people, and maybe we talked offline about this, about coaching, right? And a lot of people are understanding now more that coaching is kind of this thing that they're seeking or they're either trying to be. So I say that to say that, you know, we're always looking for an accountability partner, a coach, a mentor, somebody to lead us to our goals. And I've had many of coaches, I've had mentors, I still have them to this day. But what I always say is that I'm bringing something to the table. I just need that coach or mentor, that there's this gap, there's this roadblock. And they're getting me to the next level to think differently. It could be one thing that they say, right? It could be one thing that they give me, a gem, and I take it and run with it. But I think a lot of people are seeking help or guidance and expecting to just show up and not do the work. And I should not want, because my clients, they're maybe listening to this, they know that my goals, I want their goals more than they want their goals. And I challenge them that do not let me outwork you today. Do not let me want your goals more than you want your goals. And I tell people all the time, it's like, I don't want anyone to want my goals more than I want them. Right? So this is the internal motivation. So when I have other external things that are, you know, coming, whether I watch a Kobe interview, whether I watch, you know, a Gary Vee, whoever that is influencing our society, and I listen to this, it's not that I'm reveling in that they're better than me. I'm saying that, okay, I need to level up. This was a gem. Let me take it and run with it, right? So I'm never looking for external motivation. I'm looking for inspiration.
Man, that's...
Yeah.
Because hearing you say that just jogs a thought of one of my speaking coaches. What he said, his name's Kendall Ficklin. Shout out to Coach K. But man, he was the one who showed us how to take speaking and then turn it into a business.
Yes.
And then there were sometimes, like, you know how if you're on a sports team or you're in an organization, like, there's a point to where you feel that if I'm under this leader so long, then maybe they'll drop me off a crumb. Maybe they'll, you know, they get too many of this, then they'll give me. He was like, no. He said, I'm cleaning the table. He was like, I'm not giving y'all nothing. Y'all got to go out here and get it. And then seeing that and seeing the way that he was motivated, that really drove me to understand. It's like, okay, well, nobody really is going to give us anything.
Yeah.
If we want to close the deal, we got to close the deal. If we don't close the deal, then he going to mess around and close the deal. And then we're going to be out in the cold.
Yeah, exactly.
So, man, that, just seeing that, that was a big mindset shift thing for me. Mm-hmm. And we've talked like a lot about books. We talked a lot just in that shifting. What would be a book that, that you would just recommend to somebody? Like a book you might be currently reading, like just something that somebody could get some value from. And we're going to talk about your book in a second. We're going to talk about your book in a second. I forget.
No, one that I'm reading right now that is really, really good is called Presence by Amy Cuddy. You may have saw it laying out on the table earlier, but there are so many books. But what I've realized is that there are books that are motivating, there are books that give you gems, but I always look for books that can challenge the way I think and be more understanding of who Brian is, because when you understand who you are, then I think you will not be easily, conflicted when you come into challenges. So what that book is about is essentially saying how to bring your best self to the most difficult challenges. And how to be more present in the moment. So I think a lot of people are dealing with a lot of mental health right now, of course, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of overwhelm, depression, doubts, fears, all those things. And that book, Amy Cuddy, if you go listen, she has the second most listened or watched TEDx talk ever.
Oh, wow.
So if you go listen to her, you know, I believe that is something that if anyone can do anything is to find out who you are and not establish yourself by what you do. So that book to me has begun giving me a lot of insight into how I can bring my best self. Because if I bring my best self, then that will ultimately lead into other things to where I'm not wasting time, right? And discovering oneself and I'm like, ah, that's not feeling it today. If I know who I am, if I know how to handle the challenges, okay, Brian, you're scared right now. What are you gonna do about it? So in that moment, I'm not taking a day to lay in bed and, you know, relish in all the things that I'm not doing or not getting, but I'm, again, creating more time because I'm able to handle those big challenges in that moment.
Man.
Yeah.
One thing I just took from what you were saying is, like, you're talking about bringing your best self. And I think that it's easy to get lost just in the concept because people think, well, if I go so hard over here, then I'm gonna come up short over here. If I go so hard in business, then I'm gonna come up short in family life. But one thing that I wanna challenge people with is, because I've began to start learning this, that being married one whole month.
But, congrats again.
But, thank you, thank you. But I've began to learn that if I challenge myself to be a student of speaking and a student of being a great orator, first of all, my wife's gonna see me doing that. And then she's going to say, well, I see you studying this so hard. Shouldn't you? Because in my vows, I said, I vow to be a student of her. So by me going that hard over here, then it challenges me. Well, I can't be, you know, I don't want to be just great in one area and lackluster in another. So now I'm having to challenge myself. So I know the discipline over here to pursue speaking. What does it look like over here to be a great husband? So now I'm starting to learn more stuff, but I'm reading more devotionals about that, and
that's
I'm
good.
Devoting time. Yeah, man.
That's real good, man. I think a lot of people, when they find one avenue that they're great at or they're starting to see momentum in, I think subconsciously it's the fears of being either judged or not good at because it's something new, right? So, you know, marriage for you is something new. It's like, you know, I'm still learning my spouse. I'm still learning about her. And, you know, there's maybe some things that, you know, we still need to talk about. And I don't want to bring those up. I don't know what the situation is, because if you're listening right now, there's maybe some things that you need to talk with your partner about. So whatever that is, it's just, I think it's the fear of, you know, something new. And we're trying to bring our best self over to those. So I think those tangible things that you're learning in speaking and, you know, just tackling that big challenge there. How do you bring those personal development skills of discipline, of perseverance, of drive and grit over into the marriage and be willing to listen?
Man,
be willing to listen, man. I think that doesn't even relate to relationships, but anything, I think open up your 2 ears, and I think the biggest people, the most powerful people, are the best listeners. The ones that are quiet in the room are the ones you need to pay attention to, because they're gathering all the information.
Taking it all in.
And they don't need to waste time overpowering the room. They speak once and they sit back, right? And in that, they just gave some insight, because now they've gathered all the information and said, this is what we need to do. And then everyone's now listening to them. Now they take the floor, right? So they wait for all the nonsense and then they speak. So listen, people, and then you'll start to hear things and understand people a little bit more about why they're reacting. I'm not sure how much time we have, but I was listening to this episode from, it was a negotiator, an FBI negotiator,
ooh,
Chris Voss.
Okay.
Okay. And this goes into business. This goes into relationships, anything. And he was saying, he was asked the question, how do you handle conflict when you're dealing with somebody on the other end and that state is so high and they're being rude to you, they're being aggressive at you? And we can relate this right to, spouses or anybody that you're having an argument with or you're trying to get your way. And again, this comes back to Kobe. Be curious. So you calm your voice and you ask, it must be difficult what you're going through. What, can you tell me about what's going on, really? And they're like, wait a minute. You're supposed to come back at me. Hold up. Now you're genuinely concerned, because no one just has anger, right? Naturally. Something's going on subconsciously that if you be that person, now maybe you can have a genuine conversation and you can actually resolve the conflict. So that not only can relate in relationships, but actually business too, when you're trying to close the deal, when you're trying to combat objections, all these different things, right?
Man, that was a curveball.
Hey, man. Hey, this thing we call life, man.
Man, you over here with these bag of tricks, man. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Because I actually have a video from an FBI negotiator. I have a video in my YouTube Watch Later. Man, if anybody went through my Watch Later, they'd be like, man, you got all kind of stuff in here.
Yeah.
But man, that's powerful. That's so powerful to know. Golly, I'm gonna go watch that today.
Yeah, man.
I'm gonna put that in my calendar. And
yeah,
go watch
if y'all
want
to go listen to it, I think it was him and Lewis Howes, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Lewis Howes and Chris Voss on the School of Greatness. I think that was it. Yep.
Man, the show notes is about to be off the chain. All these
books,
links,
podcasts,
man,
all this stuff.
I'm gonna have some fun going through this.
Yeah.
So now we've talked about like we've talked about influential people. Mm-hmm. We've talked about people who are movers and shakers. Who is a mover and shaker that you would say that you know, or that's been under your radar, or you've seen watch and grind and focus that you feel has not received their just due or their flowers?
All right, one person that I know you said multiple, but I'm just going to highlight this one person, LaDonte McMillan. He is the founder co-founder, along with his partner, of New Age Capital.
Okay.
And it's a venture capital firm, and they just made the Forbes list, and he's here local in Dallas. So I know a lot of people are looking for investors and people that they can really have a connection with, mm-hmm, in the realm of startups.
Okay.
So I think personally his mindset, he's training for the Boston Marathon too.
Oh man.
And just his mindset, it's transformative to me. But he doesn't post a lot. He doesn't show up a lot. But I talk to him almost every single day. And he's running, 5, 6, 8 miles a day on some David Goggins stuff. If you guys don't know about David Goggins, definitely check out David Goggins. But he's on the David Goggins wave. But yeah, LaDonte McMillan, LD for short, shouting him out if he's listening to this. But yeah, go check out New Age Capital. He just made the Forbes list 30 under 30. So, wow. Along with his partner, Ivan.
Yeah. Man. Okay.
Yeah. They're big. They're going places, man. I know a lot of people are relishing in Harlem Capital and John Henry and all them, but they're right up there with them.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy David Goggins stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow. Okay, our time is running short, but before we even get out of here, I just want to ask you, just because I know you got the book coming out.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah.
Tell us why shifting is so important. Share the title.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Tell us why people yeah. need to grab this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's called The Purpose Shift. Mm-hmm. How to start finding your calling, discovering your calling, and shifting into living an intentional life.
Yeah.
I think that is huge for me in telling my story, and but also getting people to realize, okay, how do I find my purpose? How do I, if it's something right now that I'm doing and I don't like it, how do I navigate relationships? How do I, you know, if the person I'm with right now isn't who I'm supposed to be with, how do I navigate that? If the career I'm in right now isn't what I want to be in, how do I navigate that? And how do you wake up each and every day saying, wow, I'm truly happy? Because I think there's a lot of individuals out there that just aren't happy with where they are, right? We're constantly trying to grow and learn, and it's almost overwhelming and stressing us to the point where it's distracting us from our calling and our purpose that God placed within us. So man. that's the premise behind the book and why I started just journaling and writing from my own story and trying to get people to realize that you have a gift within you.
And where can people follow you? Where can people pre-order the book? Because I know it's coming. The book is coming.
March
2020 is coming. But so where can people connect with you? Where can people pre-order the book? Tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, yeah. So brianmcelderry.com is my website. I'm on all social platforms at Dr. McElderry. So I'm pretty sure, Jonathan, I'll have it in the show notes, but at Dr. McElderry. And then you can find me on the book on brianmcelderry.com/The Purpose Shift. And that's the book there. And all my courses and programs are there as well. But please just contact me. Just let me know what you have, any questions, if any insight that you have that we had a discussion here with that you want to just piggyback on. I'd love to talk.
There it is. There it is. There it is, man. Definitely want to thank you for stopping by on the show, Dr. B.
You got it, man. Coming through to speak to success.
Yeah, man. And if you want to connect with us, you can, of course, go to jonathanjonespeaks.com/podcast or type in Jonathan J Speaks on about any platform and it will pop up. It's just like Dr. B, I'm on the platforms also in these social media streets.
Love it.
But man, we're logging out because they're about to kick us out of here.
We're bringing the value to you guys very quickly and efficiently, right?
Yes, very, very quickly and efficiently. It's TEDx speaker and best-selling author Jonathan Jones here with the author, Dr. Brian, The Purpose Shift, podcast host.
Yeah.
Life and holistic coach.
Yep.
Holistic life coach.
Yep.
And PharmD.
There you go.
We're getting out of here reminding you, speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you want to live any other way?